We're continuing chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And you've got your Lily. And she keeps you company. And she's very cute. And you're very cute. You ready? Okay. So, Harry had just talked with Cedric. Instead of going up the marble staircase, Cedric headed for a door to its right. Harry stood, listening to him going down the stone steps behind it, and then, slowly, he started to climb the marble one. Was anyone except Ron and Hermione going to believe him? Or would they all think he put himself in for that tournament? Yet how could anyone think that when he was facing competitors who had 3 years more magical education than he had, when he was now facing tasks that not only sounded very dangerous, but which were to be performed in front of hundreds of people? Yes, he'd thought about it, he'd fantasized about it, but it had all been a joke, really, an idle sort of dream. He'd never really seriously considered entering. But someone else had considered it. Someone else had wanted him in the tournament, had to make sure he was entered. Why? To give him a treat? He didn't think so, somehow. Does he make a fool of himself? Well, they're likely to get their wish. But to get him killed? Was Moody just being his usual paranoid self? Couldn't someone have put Harry's name in the goblet as a trick, practical joke? Did anyone really want him dead? Harry was able to answer that at once. Yes, someone wanted him dead. Someone had wanted him dead ever since he'd been a year old. Lord Voldemort. But how could Voldemort have ensured that Harry's name got into the Goblet of Fire? Voldemort was supposed to be far away in some distant country in hiding, alone, feeble, and powerless. Yet in that dream he had, just before he had awoken with his scar hurting, Voldemort had not been alone. He'd been talking to Wormtail and plotting Harry's murder. Harry got a shock to find himself facing the fat lady already. He'd barely noticed where his feet were carrying him. It was also a surprise to see that she was not alone in her frame. The wizened witch who had flitted into her neighbor's painting when he had joined the champions downstairs was now sitting smugly beside the fat lady. She must have dashed through every picture lining, 7 staircases, to reach here before him. Both she and the fat lady were looking down at him with the keenest interest.
"Well, well, well," said the fat lady. "Violet's just told me everything. Who's been chosen the school champion, then?"
No, she's not high voice. She's the fat lady.
What's she? Her voice, then.
"Well, well, well."
Okay. We'll do that next. "Balderdash," said Harry dully.
"It most certainly isn't," said the pale witch, indignantly.
"No, no, Vi, it's the password," said the fat lady soothingly. "Is that okay?"
And she swung forward on her hinges to let Harry into the common room. They have the most lax security in these things. The blast of noise that met Harry's ear when the portrait opened almost knocked him backwards. Next thing he knew, he was being wrenched inside the common room by about a dozen pairs of hands, and he was facing the whole of Gryffindor house, all of whom were screaming, applauding, and whistling.
"You should have told us you'd entered," bellowed Fred. He looked half annoyed, half deeply impressed. "How'd you do it without getting a beard?" "Brilliant," roared George.
"I didn't," Harry said. "I don't know how." But Angelina had now swooped down on him. "Oh, if it couldn't be me, at least it's a Gryffindor."
"You'll be able to pay Diggory back for that last Quidditch match, Harry," shrieked Katie Bell, and another of the Gryffindor chasers. "We've got food, Harry. Come and have some."
"I'm not hungry. I had enough at the feast." But nobody wanted to hear that he wasn't hungry. Nobody wanted to hear he hadn't put his name in the goblet. Not one single person seemed to have noticed he wasn't at all in the mood to celebrate. Lee Jordan had unearthed a Gryffindor banner from somewhere, and he had insisted on draping it around Harry like a cloak. Harry couldn't get away. Whenever he tried to sidle over to the staircase up to the dormitories, the crowd around him closed ranks and forced another butterbeer on him, stuffing crisps and peanuts into his hands. Everybody wanted to know how he had done it, how he had tricked Dumbledore's age line and managed to get his name into the goblet.
"I didn't," he said over and over again. "I don't know how it happened."
But for all the notice anyone took, he might as well just not have answered at all. He should have made up an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm tired," he bellowed finally, after nearly half an hour. "No, seriously, George, I'm going to bed."
He wanted more than anything to find Ron and Hermione, to find a bit of sanity, but neither of them seemed to be in the common room. Insisting that he needed to sleep, and almost flattening the little Creevy brothers as they attempted to waylay him at the foot of the stairs, Harry managed to shake everyone off and climb up to the dormitory as fast as he could. To his great relief, he found Ron lying on his bed in the otherwise empty dormitory, still fully dressed. He looked up when Harry slammed the door behind him. "Where have you been?" Harry said. "Oh, hello," said Ron. He was grinning, but it was an odd, very strained sort of grin. Harry suddenly became aware he was still wearing the Scarlet Gryffindor banner that Lee had tied tightly around him. He hastened to take it off, but it was knotted very tightly. Ron lay on the bed without moving, and Harry watching Harry struggle to remove it. "So," he said, when Harry had finally removed the banner and thrown it into a corner. "Congratulations." "What do you mean, congratulations?" said Harry, staring at Ron. There was definitely something wrong with the way Ron was smiling. It was more like a grimace. "Well, no one else got across the age line," said Ron. "Not even Fred and George. What did you use, the invisibility cloak?" "The invisibility cloak wouldn't have gotten me over that line," said Harry slowly. "Oh, right," said Ron. "I thought you might have told me if it was the cloak. But because it would have covered both of us, wouldn't it? But you found another way, didn't you?" "Listen," said Harry. "I didn't put my name in that goblet. Someone else must have done it." Ron raised his eyebrows. "And what would they do that for?" "I don't know," said Harry. He felt it would have sounded very melodramatic to say, "to kill me." Ron's eyebrows rose so high they were in danger of disappearing into his hair. "It's okay, you know, you can tell me the truth," he said. "If you don't want everyone else to know, fine. But I don't know why you're bothering to lie. You didn't get into trouble for it, did you? That friend of the fat lady's, that Violet, she's already told Dumbledore is letting you enter. 1,000 galleon prize money, eh? And you didn't have to do your end-of-year tests, either." "I didn't put my name in that goblet," said Harry, starting to feel angry. "Yeah, okay," said Ron, in exactly the same skeptical tone as Cedric. "Only this morning you said you'd have done it last night, and no one would have seen you. I'm not stupid, you know." "You're doing a real good impression of it," Harry snapped. "Yeah," said Ron, and there was no trace of grin, forced or otherwise, on his face. "You want to get to bed, Harry. I expect you'll need to be up early for a photo call or something." He wrenched the hangings shut around his four-poster, leaving Harry standing there by the door, staring at the dark red velvet curtains, hiding one of the few people he would have been sure who would have believed him.
I know, some friends.
Yeah.
Seriously. I forget. I don't think Hermione believes him either.
No, yeah. That's the end of chapter 17. You're not sleepy yet, are you? But it's already past midnight. I think we have to go to sleep. I love you so much, Kerr. You're very beautiful. Very wonderful. Very sweet. Very kitten-like. I love you so much. Good night. I love you. Good night, kitten.